You know, the world right now is a really unsettled place. And for such a time as this, women play a most important role in history as peacemakers. The goal of Ladies of Liberty Sound Off is to affect the lives of women in an empowering way through discussion of important issues of the day. So, are you ready? The Ladies of Liberty are ready to sound off.
Good afternoon, ladies. There was an article that I read that I really want to talk to the two of you about. It was written actually in January. It actually wasn't even written. It was a kind of a speech, I think. But it came out in January of 2020 by Bob Lonsberry. He was a Rochester talk radio personality on Wham 1180 AM. And when Joe Biden at that time made an income equality speech, because now this is their big thing in the administration. We have income equality. We need to have equity between everybody. And by the way, equity and equality are not the same thing, which we can talk about. But I want to talk about his article here, which is called Two Americas, because it really so succinctly hit home to me how simple this is and how very dangerous this is. So I'm just going to read a little bit from it, and there's so much more, but you both have the article. I've sent it to you. I think you've looked at it and you had the same reactions as I did. And I want to share it with all the women in America and around the world right now, because it had a huge impact on me, and it makes so much sense. So he says, the Democrats are right. There are two Americas, the America that works and the America that doesn't, the America that contributes and the America that doesn't. It's not the haves and the have-nots. It's the do's and the don'ts. Some people do their duty as Americans. They obey the law, support themselves, contribute to society, and others don't. That's the divide in America. It's not about income inequality. It's about civic irresponsibility. It's about a political party that preaches hatred, greed, and victimization in order to win elective office. It's about a political party that loves power more than it loves its country. That's not invective. That's the truth. And it's about time someone said it. Let's talk about this, ladies. I just so agree. It's not about income inequality. It is about civic irresponsibility. It's about the haves and the have-nots and why there are haves and have-nots. It's not a have's fault that somebody is a have-not. It's their own efforts that make the outcome that they receive in life. Ava, what do you think?
Yeah, I agree with you 100%. Capitalism is the exact opposite of what the Democrats are preaching here. Capitalism, there's no ceiling for your success, okay? So in other words, the harder you want to work or the bigger you want to grow your company, the more money you can make. There's no limit on capitalism. What they're talking about, the Democrats, is, I love this line in the article. It's the rationale of thievery. The other guy has it, you want it, and Biden will take it for you. That right there sums it up nicely. So the people that work hard and do a great job will not be rewarded because their money will be taken away and given to somebody else. And that somebody else is defined as less lucky, I guess, than you. And, you know, that person's going to take your hard-earned money. So I don't see this succeeding at all. I think there's too many people in America that are willing to work hard, love freedom, love managing their own money, their own life. And I don't think it's going to be easily given up.
Well, you know, the outcome of such a thing is inevitably going to be that people stop working, period. There won't be those people who work hard anymore. They'll work hard, work hard, and work hard. And then they'll discover that they're getting almost nothing for all their effort, and all sorts of other people are getting everything for no effort, and that is just going to result in no one working at all. Everybody's going to stop working. And what kind of a world can we have at that point? That's just not going to be in the least bit productive, and it's not going to, it would be the absolute ruination of our country. You know, I spent so much of my life in the theater, and what I find astonishing is that all these theater, these Hollywood and Broadway people are all getting behind this stuff. And the funny thing is that the whole point of theater is that character is destiny. This is what Shakespeare says, character is destiny. We go to the theater so that we can watch human behavior, and we watch the results and the consequences. If I do this, this happens. If I do that, that happens. That's the whole point of theater, is for us to all sit in an audience and study how life goes. I'm always calling it the big it, how the big it goes. And if you do nothing, you get nothing. That's the way it works in the whole world. And I have no idea why all these Broadway and Hollywood, all these theater people are so gung-ho behind this thing, which has nothing to do with character is destiny. Nothing.
Well, how would they feel, Mallory, if they work really, really hard, they go to acting school, they do all the things that they need to do, and they get a great role, and they make a lot of money on Broadway, and the janitor who's done nothing, not that janitors do nothing, I'm just using this as an example, who's done nothing to further his own career in any which way, should be entitled to perhaps the same pay. So they take it from that actor and they give it to that janitor. I mean, would they honestly and truly go for that? Or is this just lip service? Because what this article continues on and says is that this is a betrayal of the people. It doesn't benefit the people who support, you know, their own lifestyle. It's a betrayal of them. And it also goes on to say that the Democrats have not empowered their followers. They've enslaved them in a culture of dependence and entitlement, of victimhood and anger instead of ability and hope. And my philosophy is and remains that human nature, especially in America, human nature strives to do the best and be the best we can be to reap the rewards of doing so. And if we cannot reap the rewards of getting that doctorate degree or, you know, doing the hard work to get somewhere and then reap the rewards, what is the point? So the things that we're striving for here in the Biden administration is we're striving towards mediocrity instead of striving towards excellence. And that you can tell by how they're taking out like the accelerated mathematics courses from lots and lots of schools so that we don't offend those who can't do accelerated math. You know, why would we strive to be the lowest common denominator instead of the best? And when you destroy that spirit, that human spirit within us that strives to be the best we can be, man, what a life would that be?
I think it would be extremely boring and extremely useless, really. I mean, because nobody would really be producing anything or inventing anything or, you know, solving anything or curing diseases. I mean, America, when you look at America in comparison to the rest of the world, I mean, we're the best of the best of the best. And we've always held these things, you know, so high on this shining city on a hill. I mean, the military, science, the sacred idea of law, these are things that made us America. And now I look at these institutions, such as the military, such as the CDC or the WHO, and I look at the sacred idea of law in our country and how that's being just just pushed aside. I mean, the Supreme Court won't even hear cases that are very legitimate being put forward, but they won't hear it. So law is no longer sacred in America. And that bothers me more than anything else in this whole article, to be honest with you.
Well, you know what's really driving me crazy at this point in my life is that as I go on the radio or as I'm being interviewed by various people, the things that we're having to talk about, we're having to actually say up is up and down is down. Straightforward is straightforward. Backwards is backwards. I mean, the preposterousness of these things that we're having to discuss, everybody that I ever knew when I was growing up or in my whole experience in America is that people always knew that as long as output, personal responsibility, effort, discipline, and true virtue are unequal, the results are going to be unequal. I'm just flabbergasted. I'm almost left speechless because it's so preposterous, these things that we're having to say. I mean, over 100 years ago, Winston Churchill said that socialism is a philosophy of failure, the creed of ignorance, and the gospel of envy. Its inherent virtue is the equal sharing of misery. And Karl Marx himself said that, quote, socialism is the thin end of the communist wedge. Once they're socialists, communism is inevitable. Now that's quote unquote Karl Marx. I love the quote from Winston Churchill because he said that 100 years ago. It's as true then as it's as true today as it was then. And the way that people keep confusing, the other thing that really drives me nuts is the way people confuse Christianity with communism. They keep thinking that, well, if you're a true Christian, you mean it means you're just going to give everything away to the poor and you're going to, you know, they thought that after the crucifixion of Christ, and the early church was gathering itself together and it was trying to figure out its rules and regulations and how it was going to operate as a church. And they tried communism. They tried to live that way. And eventually St. Paul got up and said, hey, you know what? This just is not working. So from now on, people, you don't work, you don't eat. Now that's St. Paul. That's a direct quote from St. Paul. You don't work, you don't eat. Also, one of the Ten Commandments is, thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's goods. There's a complete acknowledgement in the commandment itself that there's going to be an inequality of goods, that your neighbor may have a lot of things that you don't have, and you have no right to covet those things. So I think that this business of confusing Christianity with communism has got to stop. We have to straighten that out to begin with, because we're basically a Christian culture. I think they say 75% of Americans believe in God and practice either Judaism or Christianity. But I just think that this is a major problem in the whole basic understanding of this thing is, you know, it's as if you have a horse race and the jockey riding the horse that's 2 furlongs ahead starts looking back and going, feeling sorry for the guy behind him and reining in his horse, you know, trying to get the horse to lose the race because he feels sorry for the people behind him who are losing. It takes away the entire purpose of the race.
Well, and the fact is that people are not created equal in every way. They're just not. Everybody has their own special skills. Everybody excels at some things and doesn't excel at other things. We're all different. That's the beauty of humanity, is that the potpourri of talents and different types of people and races and cultures and skills are varied. And that's what makes it work. So some people, you know, even from the beginning of man, some people could make fires better and some people could hunt better and some people could, you know, farm better. So it's the same today that we all have different skills. I mean, as you drive across the country, which I just did, you see so many different kinds of people doing different kinds of things. And I know for sure that I can't do them as well, and I shouldn't benefit as though I can. But there's things that I can do, and the choices that I make are the choices that make my life or break my life. That's my choice. And I want that choice. And it's kind of being taken away from us. So if I start a business and I succeed at that business, and along the way, by the way, when you do those things, you help other people, right? You employ them, or you make a product that helps people, or, you know, that's what society works, you know? And you take that motivation away from me to work as hard as I can, or to become as educated as I can, or to be a doctor. You know, now they want to make all the doctors have this, you know, the Obamacare thing, the one kind of fits all healthcare, and doctors won't be able to have private practices. That's already happening. I know personally so many doctors, some who have just completely left being a doctor because they said it's not worth all the paperwork and all the stuff that they have to go through. Other doctors by far have moved away from having private practices to going into group practices. It's not what they wanted. It was not what their dream was, but we forced them into that. I mean, what have we lost as a society? We've lost those doctors that come to our house and make house calls. We've lost the one-on-one connection with those doctors. And we're being told by the government what healthcare we can get and what we can't get. I mean, just extrapolate that to everything in life. And you take away that God-given desire within humans to succeed and reap the rewards of their success, and then to share that success with others in their own way. We're just stripping people of that and saying, nope, everybody gets equity, and we're going to take this from you, and we're going to give it to them. So what is the point at that point? Why not be the other guy who just gets to take instead of give? Because if there's no difference, what is the point in being somebody who creates the jobs and who excels at what they do?
Yes, what we're losing is our freedom. We're losing freedom to succeed, freedom to fail, and we're ignoring completely content of character or how much effort you put into whatever it is you're doing to make a living. So, you know, the very end of this article, there's a quote from Abraham Lincoln, "A house divided against itself cannot stand." And that really sat with me for a while. And I thought, this is exactly what he meant by that. It's almost like he could see the future.
Well, you know, one of the main things that I consider a purpose in my life is the element of example. I think we're all here to give example to each other. And if I'm working really, really hard, then I can rest in the fact that there are others who are taking example from me, particularly the young. You know, if you're witnessing a person who works a lot harder than you do, and you've never really even considered that level of effort, you find yourself stepping up. If they're working out next to you and they're really doing a great job working out, then you start sort of emulating them a little bit. And in terms of everything in life, you look at the guy next to you and you see how well they're doing with something they're doing, and then they're doing it a little differently from you. And they've got a kind of a new angle on it. And then you try what they're doing and it gets you a lot farther. This is how we energize each other is through example and through being close to other people, when you're around other people and you're observing their behavior. And this is a big part of it. You know, if everybody's slacking off, if everybody's just sort of doing less and less and less as it goes on, I mean, that is what goes on in a third world country. I've lived in a lot of third world countries. And third world countries are far less energized than America. When you come to America, particularly, for instance, if you come to New York City, you walk out of the train station or you come in from the airport, and the minute your feet hit the street, you start to feel the electricity of New York City. And it grabs you, you know, it really, at one point when I first came to New York, I was so thrilled that I was finally in New York, living there. I had been wanting that for 20 years. And I, at one point, I find myself on 100th Street, and I got so energized by all the people around me that I walked all the way down to Houston Street from like 100th. And that's a long, 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 long walk. But I just couldn't bring myself to get into a taxi or a subway or a bus because I was so exhilarated by this wonderful walk all the way through the island of Manhattan. And it was because of all the energy around me. And this is a very important aspect of what we're talking about, is how we affect each other's energy, how we take example off of one another. And you just can't have everybody slacking off and collecting some, you know, livable check while you're doing nothing. It's so bad for the soul. It's so bad for the spirit. And one of the basic principles of Judeo-Christianity is that the human being is dignified by work. You must work. It creates your human dignity. It's so important.
Oh, I just can't agree more. It's this whole theory of having people, the whole equity theory is just so flawed. And really the basis of America, and the thing that I love about America, is the fact that we can do whatever we apply ourselves to do through our efforts, and our outcomes are direct results of our efforts. And, you know, one of the things that he points out in the article is that the freedom to succeed and the freedom to fail are both important, because I know at the times that I've failed, and we all have at something, I learn from that, and then I can make myself better. And by ending up being successful, as I said, you know, I can employ people, I have things to offer, I can mentor people, and I've mentored so many young women in my industry to learn how to be successful as well. Because one of the things that I believe in strongly, especially for women, and we all are moms here, is that we as women, if we can do something that feeds our soul, but also feeds our families, that's a good thing. So we can, you know, teach people how to be entrepreneurs, and we can give them those tools. You know, it's like the teach a man to fish rather than give him a fish, right? Teach them how to be an entrepreneur, how to do things so that when you're raising your kids, as I did when I raised my kids, I could go to all my kids' little league games and band practices and things that they did because I was an entrepreneur, because I started my own company, because I got to be my own boss. I can't see that being taken away from people, those efforts, that, you know, your effort has to be rewarded by the outcome. If your effort is not rewarded by the outcome, what is the point of the effort? And I think that people in America, and Mallory, you brought up the people on Broadway, I think that they give this a lot of lip service, but I think that when it comes right down to it, people don't really want this. There's nobody that would want this other than if you are somebody that's, you know, completely entitled and lazy, which we're doing a great job of teaching people to be, and teaching them to be selfish rather than giving. We just are not the kind of country that wants this kind of a country to live in. We just don't. This is not America. And I'd love to see Americans speaking out much more. And thank goodness they are starting to speak out about some things. Ava, I noticed, and I want your thoughts on this, and then Mallory's thoughts on this. I noticed people are speaking out a lot more about what's going on. They're becoming alarmed about all of these things, about the critical race, about the the equity, about all these things that are coming about so fast and furious in the Biden administration that are going to affect our lives. I do see alarm. How about you?
Yes, I do too. And that's one of the things that gives me hope, is that, you know, the people, the American people, are fighting against this. I think it's 18 states that have, they've taken on their school boards and questioned this critical race theory and, you know, all of the 1619 project and, you know, all this BS that's being, you know, just indoctrinating our children with this stuff. I mean, it's just horrible. And now parents are fighting back. And yes, we're being called names by the left, but you know what? Sticks and stones can break my bones, but names will never hurt me. Okay, go ahead, call me anything you want, but I will speak the truth. And that's how it's going to be.
Well, you know, didn't you all know that it was going to start to cave in the minute they began the stuff about everybody gets a trophy?
Oh, yeah.
The minute they started that thing, oh, well, a participation trophy. What? I mean, this was just so preposterous. But I also have to bring out my basic raw material that I use for, you know, the basis of my being a pundit in the first place, is that, you know, this business was about when mom left the home. When mom left the home, it doesn't mean that women shouldn't work. They shouldn't be entrepreneurs. They shouldn't try their own talents and their own ambitions and dreams and hopes. But the presence of mom in the house was the thing that anchored everybody, that grounded everybody. Mom was teaching this 10 commandments to the kids. Mom was making sure everybody was well-groomed and they were fit to meet the public when they walked out the door. When mom just completely quit the home, pretty much, and all these hectic homes began to erupt in America, where mom is running out the door at 7:30 in the morning going, I don't have time, don't bother me. And she's got her briefcase, running out the door to run the world. When that began, when that abandonment of the home by the mother began, this is when the whole society fell apart. We don't even have a decent society to speak of anymore. And our children, the last two generations of that the feminists put out, are just a disgrace. I'm sorry, but I just don't really like what's going on in America with our children. These are just overweight, lazy children who all think they're going to get trophies. Of course, this appeals to them. And most of the people under 50 now have been educated by these feminist Marxist. Never forget, this is a Marxist. This is a Marxist conspiracy. When people say to me, oh, that's a conspiracy theory, I always say, hey, please don't try to tell me that conspiracy is an inoperable word in our language. There are many conspiracies. And you can't dismiss something and say it's a conspiracy. There are a lot of conspiracies right now, dozens and dozens of conspiracies in America right now. And you can't laugh at them and just say it's a conspiracy theory. That's ridiculous. This Marxist aggression on our society is a very well planned out thing that began around 1920. They've been at it full throttle for 100 years now. They've been after America. The Marxists want America more than anything. And every single thing that we're talking about today is Marxist, all Marxist ideals. It's all Marxist thought. It isn't remotely anything American.
No, that's absolutely right. And as this article said, that it's a false philosophy to say one man's success comes about unavoidably as the result of another man's victimization. That is exactly what socialists offer. So, you know, we need to really be listening very carefully. And this is where I think that people need to really, really understand, before they check that box on their voting ballots, what the person they're voting for stands for, because we are putting people into office that are just shocking to me to be in office. You have Ilhan Omar's daughter putting a communist sickle. What is the symbol there, Mallory? I'm sure you know. on her.
It's a hammer and sickle.
The hammer and sickle.
Hammer and sickle.
On,
yeah.
On her Facebook, on her Twitter post.
You're kidding.
Yeah. No. She promotes communism. This, these are the people in America that we are putting in office that are making decisions for Americans. We need to be so much more careful, and we need to really get out those people that think like-minded to save America to vote, because this is just absolutely crazy. I never thought we'd be here in my lifetime.
All politics is local. All politics is local.
Right.
So we have to remember that.
Well, we certainly have to start there, because what we have now in so many local positions is just a mess. I mean, we're a mess from local all the way up to federal at this point. And when you look at those decisions that they make, like the district attorneys that are releasing people from prisons, and all of the various decisions that are made from local to federal, they're just crazy right now. So it's a big deal. This is a make or break time for America. We need to pay attention.
Well, it's this George Soros thing. George Soros, how did this happen? How is it that this man, who is just a very wealthy person who manipulated currency to get that way, is having so much effect? He's getting all these district attorneys elected all over the United States. He's doing, my nephew, Larry Krasner, is the district attorney of the city of Philadelphia. And he just won his primary for reelection last week, 65% to 35%. And the two biggest contributors to his campaign for this primary were the wife of the man who runs Zillow from the West Coast and the wife of the owner of Netflix from the West Coast. These people from California put all this money into the Philadelphia DA election. I just don't even understand how these things are legal. I mean, how is it that foreigners and strangers and people who don't even live anywhere near the action are able to put billions of dollars into these elections?
Well,
There's something so wrong.
Some of those same people, Mallory, just put money into keeping Gavin Newsom in office in California as well, which is where I'm sitting when I'm talking to you, and I can tell you that they don't want him.
Don't miss an episode of the Ladies of Liberty Sound Off. Subscribe to the podcast. And for the latest news and inspiration, join us back at AmericaOutloud.com.
Because of COVID-19, the average American worries about their immune health 4 times a day. That's 112 times per year. To minimize the worries, leading nutritional supplement company, Healthy Cell, created Immune Super Boost, an immune supplement that contains 15 full doses of science-backed nutrients like vitamin C, zinc, elderberry, and echinacea, all in a one-a-day pill-free gel pack. It tastes great, is convenient on the go, and it's more natural too, without chemical binders, fillers, and coatings. Supporting a strong and resilient immune system can be simple. Go to HealthyCell.com and use code OUTLOUD for 20% off your first order of Immune Super Boost. That's HealthyCell.com, HealthyCell, and use code OUTLOUD for 20% off.
Today, America stands at the crossroads of history. Our actions will determine the fate of our nation. Well, that journey starts here and starts now. We invite you to join us in making the ultimate difference. Subscribe to our podcast and newsletters. Turn notifications on and stay in the know. You'll find all that back at AmericaOutloud.com. Liberty and justice for all.
Okay, the Ladies of Liberty are back. And who are the ladies? Everyone's probably wondering. Well, we have the wonderful Mallory Millett of New York City. And we have Linda Martinelli, who is the host of the show. And my name is Ava Armstrong. I'm an author and of no consequence to this program at all. However, we read a Victor Davis Hanson article. Victor Davis Hanson has a very large group of groupies here right now because we all love him. And he wrote an article, and it was on May 23rd, and the title is Feet of Clay Icons. We wanted to open this segment talking about these institutions in America that were once just held to be sacred. Some of them are the military, or science, you know, in America, science, scientific institutions, and of course, the sacred idea of law, you know, the court system, the Supreme Court, our constitutional rights, and so forth. So Linda, what do you think? What should we be thinking about this?
Well, I absolutely do think that we have lost faith in a lot of the institutions in America. So science being one, I think Dr. Fauci really helped us along the way with that. And I think that the military, unfortunately, is another that's just always been such a standard, such a gold standard, our military. We all love our military. Our military has been, you know, just the kind of, like I said, the gold standard. And now they are cleaning out the military of anybody that has conservative thought in their head. They're actually going through their emails, their social media, they're looking at whatever they can to see how these people in our military are thinking. And if they're not thinking, quote unquote, right, actually meaning left, then they are somehow removed, demoted, transferred. They don't want them. So, I mean, it's just a terrible thing. And I'm going to throw a few more institutions in that I'm extremely distrustful of now. The FBI is absolutely one after they completely lied and were dishonest about the whole Trump election, the whole Hillary scandals, the emails, and let her get away with that. I don't trust anything that they do anymore. And I will also say our schools and institutions of higher learning are very much on my radar as places that I can no longer trust because they are lying to our students and they are indoctrinating rather than teaching. I want teaching the basics. I want teaching the subject. I don't want them indoctrinated with, you know, your Marxist theories. And so I've lost a lot of faith in our country. And the question for me then becomes, where can we really put our faith right now?
Well, as usual, the best place is to put it in God. And also don't forget the State Department. When Hillary Clinton was Secretary of State, and the whole State Department just fell apart. I mean, I just didn't know what to make of all of that at all. Everybody was suddenly out protecting her. I sincerely believe that this woman belongs in prison. The fact that what happened in Benghazi, that whole thing, I've lived abroad a lot. And when you live abroad, my whole life, it's always been, hey, if you're an American and you live abroad, America will go to war for you. America will save you. If you get into big trouble in Greece or in Africa or someplace like that, just go to the American embassy. They will save your bacon. They will come to your assistance. Well, I mean, that's just not true anymore. Those poor people in Benghazi had asked for days for more security, and they were just simply refused. There's so many things that have existed in America that have now become completely tarnished. The Boy Scouts, they've ruined the Boy Scouts for us. The whole thing where they started insisting that homosexuals could be den fathers and den leaders, and that sort of led to a whole big feet of clay thing there. And also, one of the things that I carry on about a lot that I find very important, and I never hear anybody else talk about it, but this comes from having lived abroad a lot, and that is that when you live in other countries, you begin to be struck by the fact that all of our boys play football, baseball, basketball, and hockey. And when you've got a nation full of young males who play these very hardcore team sports, very difficult, hockey, I mean, very, very violent, very difficult, very tough to win, very tough to lose, that sort of thing, that's how you build a nation that wins wars, a nation that comes out into the world and is able to stand up for itself and defend all of its principles. And now this is the Marxists again. They're like the termites in the house. They're now very assiduously addressing themselves to the NFL, the National Basketball League. All of the big sports are being attacked and brought down now. And the men are joining the women's sports as transsexuals. This is all part of the Marxist plan. This is not inadvertent, by the way. This is not sort of how things are going because people are thinking more in a Marxist way or anything. This was plotted out and planned in other countries, in exotic places, Russia, China, all over the world. This was plotted, how to destroy America, how to move in like termites and just eat away at the underpinnings of our country. And the boys' sports are one of the major things. I carry on about this all the time. Please, everybody, have your boys and girls do sports and excel at sports, because it's one of the vertebrae of America's strength, you know?
Yeah, and one more institution I've lost complete faith in is any sort of news organization. I find that is just gone right down the rabbit hole, and there's nothing that I watch now that I just watch it with a jaundiced eye. I have just always doubt about the facts that they're supposedly reporting. And one other iconic industry I wanted to mention too is the movie industry. Now I can remember, I'm a big fan of Turner Classic Movies. I'm not a big fan of Turner himself, but I love the classic movies. And I will sometimes watch movies from the 1950s, some from the 60s. And you can actually tell what the theme of the movie is. You can tell who the bad guys are. You can tell, you know, a lot of things about you. You actually get a story and you get a, you know, kind of a tale that weaves a special message for you. Movies today don't have that. I don't know if you guys have watched any movies lately. I mean, I don't even know what the movie is about most of the time. So I don't know if it's just me or what.
No, I discovered when I was living abroad, I started going there when I was very young in the 60s. And you know, one of the things that struck me so hard was how all of the world had fallen in love with America, mainly because of our movies. They mm-hmm. fell madly in love with American principles, American values. The good guy wins, the bad guy loses. There was this strain of virtue and of good versus bad running through everything, and it was absolutely gorgeous. And the people all over the world fell in love with us because of this. You know, right now, my husband and I have gotten into watching a lot of Gunsmoke. I love watching Matt Dillon bring Law and Order to the West, and the way Wyatt Earp brought Law and Order, the whole thing of the Wild Wild West and then bringing Law and Order to the Wild Wild West. And this is so important. And as our movies began to get corrupted, as our movies began to get more and more, as a matter of fact, Hollywood began to bend its will to China, because about 20, 25 years ago, Americans stopped going to the movies. We just stopped going to movie theaters and stopped going to movies. But so the Hollywood started angling their movies toward China, because China became a huge customer for Hollywood. Now, all they're interested in now is pleasing China. They don't care if the American people like their movies or go to their movies, because they haven't been going for about 20 years anyway. So they have turned their cheeks stoically toward China, and they are deliberately trying to please China all the time. So I think you're really right about the movies. The minute our movies became corrupt, it all happened around the same time.
Mm-hmm. I have to tell you a story about that Matt Dillon there, Mallory. So yeah. my grandmother used to be a seamstress, and she sewed all of his clothes. She had a little tiny shop in Hollywood, actually in Santa Monica. And he would come in, and, you know, it was the kind of the old school, right? You take their measurements and then you make them the pants and the shirt or whatever, a costume, whatever it was. And she always would repeat herself. She always said, James Arness is a big, big man. He's a big McMahon.
He's a huge man. He's enormous.
Oh, she was in awe of him. So she did a lot of the Hollywood clothes back in the day in her little tiny seamstress store. And there was, when I would go visit her, there was barely enough room for both of us. Another place that I've lost so much faith in, so much trust in, is not in law enforcement, not in the street officers by far, but in the administration. Mm-hmm. Because what happened some time ago, and I think a lot of people are not aware of this, back in the day, many departments, the police chiefs were autonomous from, say, the city council or the mayor. They were autonomous. So they were separate but equal. Okay. Mm-hmm. And I know, for example, in Los Angeles for LAPD, that's a great example. You had Chief Davis, who was equal with the governor, who at the time was Tom Bradley. And then we had the whole Rodney King issue happen. And they decided to not make the police chief autonomous anymore, but be under the city council, be subject to their whim. So in the police chiefs were elected positions. The people would elect them. That changed back in the probably the late 70s, early 80s. That changed, and it went to where police chiefs became subject to the whims of the mayors. Okay. And when you did that, you completely changed law enforcement, because now you've made it political. Now you've made it that they have to kind of kiss the rear of the mayor in order to keep their job. You put them in a no-win situation, and you put we, the people, at a disadvantage, because we no longer had a police chief who could do what was best for his community and his area. And you put it under the auspices of people that have no idea, I've never been in law enforcement, have no idea what the issues are and how to solve them, except for in their own political way. And those people also hold the purse strings. So when we did that, and then they started doing things like taking away the broken windows style of policing, which, for people who don't know, is if you see a small crime, you take care of it. Because if you don't take care of it, it's going to get bigger and bigger and bigger. And that's where we are today. We have stopped even prosecuting people for things that, I mean, are serious crimes, are invasions that we're not prosecuting them for car theft. We're not prosecuting them for simple assaults. We're not prosecuting them for walking into your store and stealing up to a certain amount of money, and they can do it over and over and over, and they do. So every time that you stop prosecuting things, you make it worse, and then they go to bigger and better things. And that's exactly what happens. So then you start legalizing drugs, and we'll just make this much legal, but then they go to the next step. And when you took that away, I mean, we lost so much in law enforcement. You still have the good street officers, but you have terrible, terrible administrators.
But look at just what's happened to Rudy Giuliani. Rudy Giuliani, who is the man who saved New York City. He absolutely saved us. The way a lifeguard saves a drowning person in the middle of the ocean. This man, we were under David Dinkins, who was the final blow. New York had gone into just complete anarchy. It was awful. My husband and I, we'd go out during the day, we'd come home, we would be shocked that the other one was still alive. And I'm not exaggerating or saying something to just make a point. We would sit at the dinner table and say, thank God you're home alive. It was that dangerous to walk out in the streets in 1990 in America, in New York City. And then Rudy Giuliani was elected in 1993. And I'm telling you, like just before he was elected, David Dinkins had come out and said, New York City is ungovernable. And he said in the body of the newspaper article, this was in the New York Times, because New York City is so successful, it's a result of progress that it's become ungovernable. This is like one of the most absurd things I've ever heard a human being say in my life, that as a result of progress, New York City has become ungovernable. And then within a number of months, Rudy Giuliani was elected, and you simply cannot imagine the transformative effect of this man. Within 6 months of his being elected, the city was already drastically different. Within a year, it was a completely changed city. Completely. You can't imagine how it changed from what it is now. We're back to what it was then and to what it could be if we had a great mayor come in and do what Giuliani did. And now he's been, you know, I don't know if he's been arrested or what's happened, but they went into his home. They took out all kinds of stuff.
He's being targeted. He's being targeted.
Yeah, they tossed his whole home and they took away tons of material and he's being disgraced and humiliated. This man who is one of the great heroes of our country.
America's mayor.
Yeah, yeah. He was mayor during 9/11. Everybody came to
great.
Admire and love him so much.
Yeah, great patriot, great man.
Yeah, yeah.
Doesn't it make you both think, who do we trust anymore? I mean, really, who can we trust? We I'll go with Mallory, you know, that we have to trust in God.
Yeah.
And probably start there. And, you know, maybe religion can make a comeback and family can make a comeback. And we have to start trusting in ourselves. But we can't trust the media. We've named so many of our institutions that we can't trust. And others are trying to make us distrust those people that are still good. So those people that are in our military that now are trying to be politicized, those people are still good, but they're getting to them. Our police officers who they are trying to destroy as best they can, defund, prosecute, persecute, those are good people. Those are people that are there for America. Our Second Amendment people are there for America. Who do we trust right now? Because we really have a dearth of trust in this country. And, you know, boy, just talking about it is kind of depressing.
Well, you know, keep it in mind, everybody, that this is a tiny minority that's creating all these changes. Most of the people in America, most of the people don't believe in this stuff. 75 million people voted for Donald Trump. That's what they say. Now, it's possible that 80 million voted because there was so many shenanigans going on. So if you figure maybe they underestimated and there's 80 million that voted for him, and then there's probably another 5 million that have changed their minds since they voted for Biden because they're so shocked at everything that happened. So now you've got it up to 90 million. Well, there's 325 million people in the country, and a lot of them are children. So what tells you that 90 million people are into Donald Trump? And who are these people? There's this tiny, tiny, tiny group of people, mostly university professors, Hollywood, Broadway, these celebrities, these people, they are the ones creating the change. And they're a tiny proportion of our population. We're really
well
going
said.
To let the vicious minority change our whole world when we're the vast majority? I don't understand it.
Now, I have to tell you, I just spent 4 days driving across the country and I took a route that I have not taken before on purpose because I wanted to see new and different things. And I love going through the heartland of America. It's the flyover states that don't get near enough credit, but the places that have absolutely beautiful land and beautiful people and people that have ethics and people that are families and people that teach their children and people that are religious. And I drove for 4 days through farms and ranches, and I drove through many, many small oil towns who are just, thanks to the Keystone Pipeline being shut down by Joe Biden, are drying up again. I mean, as fast as you could ever see, it's in a blink of an eye. These poor people have lost everything. The stores are closing. And I'm talking little tiny towns, towns with, you know, under 10,000 people by far, but they're everywhere in the heartland. And you take their livelihoods away. The stores have to close. They don't have enough business. The people can't sell their homes because who's going to buy them in these towns that are dried up? There's nothing to do. And it's heartbreaking to see. It's heartbreaking where when I would drive through before the pandemic, when Trump was president, I could see all these oil towns coming back. I could see people starting to thrive. And it's all reversing now. And it's just heartbreaking. And the other thing that I saw is their new Green Deal visions. I saw windmills everywhere, just blighting the landscapes, and solar farms, just, you know, where birds are incinerated as they fly over. And I also saw something that I didn't expect to see. I saw oil well after oil well, the pumps, you know, the ones that look kind of like seesaws, right? I saw pumps everywhere, right in the middle of crops growing, right in the middle of ranches full of cattle, just side by side, living just fine. And it really struck me that we're being fed a really bad lie to say that fossil fuels don't get along with the environment. I saw it. You can drive through middle America and see it every day, that these little oil pumps, they have no footprint. They just don't have any. Things survive and thrive right around them. The crops grow right up to them. You look at a lithium mine, and that's a disaster. That's an environmental disaster. You look at the solar and the windmills that when they no longer work, they have to be buried because they cannot be disposed of. What is that for our environment? How do you trust a government that's feeding the people these lies about our fuel?
Yeah, the new Green Deal, or the whatever you want to call it, is a big fat lie. It is 100% big fat lie.
It is. Well, and you have to see it, because the people that are talking about it, the people that are buying this story, are not the people like me that go see for myself. They just hear it and they believe it.
Well, they've definitely succeeded, because my heart is broken.
Well, you know, there's one thing I'm going to say to before I say good afternoon to both of you. And I want to leave it with this. It didn't start with gas chambers. It started with one party controlling the media, one party controlling the message, one party deciding what is truth, one party censoring speech and silencing opposition, one party dividing citizens into us and them and calling on their supporters to harass them. It started when good people turned a blind eye and let it happen.
Well, ladies, that's a wrap. One more step for womankind.